Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started and enter my code GHOST at checkout. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in to share your real ghost story with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email me your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online to get that story to us. So many, many ways to share your story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm going to get a space heater for my office.
Are you?
I have determined I'm going to do that.
Let's discuss that further after the show.
Why?
Because I think maybe we can rearrange it to where you don't need to get a space heater, but you can get something more attractive that will provide heat.
Like what?
Like, you love the fireplace in my office.
Sure.
Could try and do that in here.
Do a fireplace in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought of that. I'm just not sure. I'm thinking like just something temporarily at least.
No.
No, you can freeze in there.
No. More often than not around here when houses burn down, it's because of space heaters. So let's just get something different.
Well, I'm thinking like the same type of heater like you have on your fireplace.
Yeah.
That same sort of thing.
Yeah, why don't we just get you a fireplace? I envision a milk house heater, which those things catch on fire.
Not like all the time. No, I'm not thinking that at all.
Okay, we'll discuss it after the show.
But I am thinking a milk house.
No.
Just having.
We'll do something.
Okay.
We'll make it better.
Jenny's gonna make me rub sticks together.
No.
Here's your solution. It's two twigs I got from the forest.
No. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Let's go to our first caller at 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey guys, this is Jose from Wichita, Kansas. I wanted to thank you guys for playing my previous post. That's really cool. It was kind of surreal to listen to myself and my story on your podcast, especially when I was at my office, and all of a sudden, what do I hear coming over my speakers is my voice. So thank you for that, and I wanted to call in about an experience that's happening to my sister. And I believe I mentioned last time that my family's fairly susceptible to the supernatural and to the things, you know, just to all that sort of things. My sister, the past couple of years, has had experiences with entities entering her house. and her house is a brand new build, so she lives in a really nice, nice new development, nothing special, nothing, no Indian burial grounds, nothing that they're aware of happened in that area outside of was built out on the outskirts of El Paso, Texas, in what used to be desert land about 10 years ago. So she moved into this house a couple years ago, has been living there. Things were pretty normal to begin with, but her and her boyfriend run a salvage business on the side, but they buy old antique items and resell them, and so they kind of use their garage for storage. And the first incident that happened to them was about 2 years ago, and in Mexican culture, there's a thing called the duende, which is basically an elf or a house elf. They're not very common occurrences, but in some parts of central Mexico, they do believe in them, and they say that they do occur. Most people describe them as tiny little creatures, humanoid. Some of them say they're gray, others say, they've got ugly faces and just like kind of how you would imagine an elf to look like. So if you imagine Dobby from Harry Potter, I think is probably one of the descriptors people have given. So a couple years ago, they started noticing stuff randomly moving at their house. And at this point, it's just the two of them. They didn't have my niece, and their dog was still a puppy. Again, he's an English bulldog, so he's not a big dog. But they would notice random stuff, like their car keys would be moved from the hook they have right by their garage door or by their front entry, and they would end up in random locations, like on their stairs or underneath a bed. And it was random stuff, little items like that would move. And the thing about my sister's boyfriend is that he's a non-believer in this sort of stuff. He's still trying to comprehend my family's side of and our belief in this sort of thing. For him, he just kind of says, no, it doesn't exist. He's a very religious person, so it doesn't really... he doesn't want to believe it because of that sort of context. But even he admits that there's some weird things that happen at their house, and he was the first person to actually spot this little thing in the corner of his through the corner of his eye. And my mom had an experience with it where she was spending the night, and this was shortly after my niece was born. So my mom was there just to kind of help my sister out while she was with maternity leave, and my mom just says that sometime around like 3 in the morning, door into the guest bedroom she was in opened up, and she saw something kind of scurry into the room and hide behind the curtain. So at first she thought it was their dog, but again, their dog is an English bulldog, so he kind of just lumbers in and you hear his breathing, and he's just kind of a noisy animal, so she knows it wasn't him, and he's not particularly fast. So she looked around, and there was nothing there, turned on the light, nothing there. It kind of concerned my mom, brought it to my sister's attention, and I believe my sister was able to kind of smudge her house, clean it out, and so that entity's gone. So today, actually yesterday, I got a phone call from her letting me know that she had another incident at the house, and I asked her if it was the little elf creature, or duende, that had come back, and she said, no, it's not that. She actually saw a physical human manifestation in her house. This was, I would say, sometime around like 5:30, 5:45. She had just gotten home from work. My niece was watching TV. Her boyfriend was still not back at the house. He was still at work, and so she started cooking. So she's at her stove looking, and just kind of focusing on what she's doing. She happens to look up, and in front of her, on top of her stove, she has one of those microwave hood combos. And so she looks into the microwave itself, and in the reflection, she sees a physical person, what looks like a human being standing behind her. So she turns around, grabs a knife, and turns around quickly and is thinking, oh my God, somebody broke into the house. Turns around, nothing's there. She looks around the house, and she kind of starts putting the pieces together, and she has an alarm in the house, so if anybody opens a door or a window, you hear a little ding. The alarm system will warn you. Also, the dog barks if anybody unknown, or even if it's somebody that he knows, he'll bark and jump around and make a lot of noise, and nobody was in the house. It was just the two of them and the dog. So she describes this person as just kind of like your average teenager. He had kind of a hipster 1950s style slicked over hair, what looked like a cowboy western shirt. So this wasn't a manifestation of some random cowboy who happened to be, gallivanting around the desert and happened to die there or anything. This looked like any person that you would see. If you were to see this person on the street, you wouldn't think twice, or they wouldn't look out of place. She described him as having a very pale face, kind of sunken in eyes, almost like a dead-like stare, but she didn't feel any negative energy or animosity from the entity. It was just kind of there observing her. So currently she's kind of dealing with that, and that night she didn't tell anything to her boyfriend, but he kind of brought it up during the dinner conversation that during the past couple of days he's been feeling like somebody's watching them in the house. And he's like, it's just that weird feeling. He's like, I'm alone in a room, I'm doing stuff, and I feel like somebody's watching me. And when I turn around to look, there's nobody there. So obviously they've checked all the rooms in the house, because just being the three of them and it being four bedroom home, you know, there's some spaces where if somebody was in there hiding, they could hide. But they've looked everywhere and there's nobody in the house. And it's just kind of one of those things that they're currently dealing with. So I wanted to share that with you guys. I don't know if you guys have any ideas as to what it might be, or, you know, if it's a ghost that just kind of randomly showed up. Has anything like that ever happened? Thank you so much, and hopefully you guys are able to use this.
Yeah, it could be a ghost that just randomly showed up that may not even appear again. But I don't know what to make of the little gnome creature, you know?
The duende?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It must sound kind of fun.
It sounds like some of the little troll kind of things that we've talked about in the past. And I think maybe that's something projecting itself to look like that.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like some sort of little actual creature.
Like it's not something from some other place in time that's making itself known. It's just something dark that's making itself known in a creepy fashion.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah, I could see that. I don't know what to make of it, but we've been hearing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Regularly.
Yeah.
It used to be kind of every once in a while there'd be something on that topic, but I gotta say, I think like maybe once every 2 weeks or so we're getting a story with something mm-hmm. of that nature showing up in it. I still don't know what to make of them, because we haven't heard that many of them.
Right.
And they're all just very kind of confusing. They kind of come and they go and it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is this and why is this going on?
Right.
Oh. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you guys want to weigh in on that, feel free to do it on our Facebook page. Or we have a group now, too, a Facebook group, a Real Ghost Stories Online group. You can always go on there and talk about it as well. If you're not part of that group, just request access. Just look up the Real Ghost Stories Online group and say, hey, I'd like to join. And then I can say, hey, okay, welcome. Just like that. That's exactly it. It's going to be, hey, okay, welcome. And that's it. All right, let's talk about a new supporter of the show, and a supporter that really, if it weren't for this supporter, this show would probably not exist in its current form. eHarmony is a new supporter of our show, and believe it or not, that's how Jenny and myself actually met many moons back. It's true story. That is how we met. So if you're trying online dating, chances are you probably run into a lot of things. Lazy text messages, dead-end conversations, random matches that don't turn into dates. You know, that can happen. You can't get to know someone just by looking at their picture. eHarmony takes it a step further and really matches you up, unlike many other online dating sites. eHarmony takes steps that other dating sites don't in order to find you a more compatible match. Okay, that's what it's all about. They're there to help help you find a lasting, meaningful relationship, not just that shallow hookup thing that so many of the sites are like. They've helped over 1 million people find their perfect match in their existence. We're one of them. eHarmony uses years and years of science, data, and psychological research to send you to the right matches. eHarmony brings compatible people together. There's plenty of hookup sites out there. This is not one of them. That is not what they are. Right now, you guys can get a month free with eHarmony. Just sign up for a 3-month subscription and enter our code GHOST at checkout, okay? Stop waiting. Start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with online dating apps, but when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship, there's one app that's built to bring you real love. It's eHarmony. Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started and enter code GHOST at checkout. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is just a couple of quick stories out of many stories that my family has had in my grandmother's house. Now, my grandmother's house, if you look at it, it looks like the Amityville house from the front. And just the feeling inside, it felt like sadness and pure evil. But one of the stories, I was laying at the foot of my grandmother's bed one night. I was about 16 years old, so I was laying on the floor at the foot of my grandma's bed because my grandmother she's been really sick. She was really sick at that time, and I was laying there, and all of a sudden I woke up and I couldn't move. The only thing I could do is move my eyes, and I can look around the room, which I guess this would be sleep paralysis. But the thing is, my grandmother has told me stories about seeing this, like, black, foggy shadow. She said it was a witch that would appear in her room. Now, whenever this was happening, I couldn't see nothing, but I heard what sounded like kind of like an old woman and a young kid laughing at the same time. But it wasn't a really loud laugh. So I was looking, trying to figure out where this was coming from. And I seen on the front left corner of my grandmother's room, which would be by my feet at the time, I looked up in the corner and this thing, now the room was dark, but this thing was blacker than the room. And the effect that it had, it wasn't solid. It was like a fog effect, but it was staying at the shape of a skinnier woman. And she was doing, I don't know if you guys have seen The Exorcist, but like the spider crawl, but she was standing in one spot in the corner, and her head, instead of upside down, was twisted completely around where it was facing right side up. And I couldn't see any features except for that it was either a man or a woman or whatever it was something. And all of a sudden, it opened its eyes, and its eyes were like a yellowish-white color, and it grinned at me, and its teeth were pure white, and it looked like shark's teeth. And it started giggling, and then all of a sudden, it did that creepy-ass spider crawl across the ceiling and went behind me, and that's when I woke up. Now, that scared the crap out of me, but that's just one story. Another story, now this was years after the story I just told you, but my grandmother passed away, and me, my niece, and my uncle, we were staying at her house 4 nights after she passed away. Now, I was laying on the couch, and my niece was at the other end on her computer. She woke me up slapping and hitting and screaming on my legs, like, freaking out. And when I woke up, we both seen my grandmother walking from her bedroom, which was directly across from the couch, through the front room, which we were sleeping at, into the dining room, which she died on her hospice bed and disappeared. And the thing is, she wasn't in her outfit that she was buried in. She was in her nightgown, which she always slept in. But that's a couple stories. you know, for now, but there's a few more that I would call in and tell, like one of them about the bride and the groom being seen walking down the stairs at my grandmother's house and going through a wall, and my mother hearing a baby crying and seeing a shirt floating, and it had like a green aura around it. But if you guys air this, that'd be awesome. If not, I appreciate you guys listening, and I just love your guys' show. I plan on becoming an EPP within the next few days. All right, guys, have a good day, and I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
My favorite part of the call was where he described, he's like, my grandma's house, I can only describe it as sadness and pure evil. It's just like that's, it's not what you usually hear grandma's house described as. It's
no.
Like warmth and cookies baking and hugs and sadness and pure evil.
Yeah, that kind of tripped me up there. I was like, what?
Well, I suppose it is what it is.
You know, when he said he saw his grandma and she was wearing the nightgown she always slept in, it makes you wonder why they choose what they choose to show themselves in. Is it because of familiarity? You know, like maybe I never dressed up except for my funeral, so you're not going to recognize me all dressed up, but I mean, you'll recognize me in my nightgown.
Maybe that's just like, you have no choice. It's just like whatever you did happen to wear a lot, that's what you end up getting as your forever death outfit. So choose forever wisely.
Forever death outfit.
Choose wisely what you wear, because whatever ends up topping that list is what you get.
Yeah, that's true.
It matters.
It does matter. I'm going to rethink the yoga pants.
I'm going to rethink Speedos, but you know.
You don't.
They're just comfy. They're just comfy.
I can't imagine they are comfy.
I can't imagine they are either. Never have ever put one on. That's one of those things on my life's to-do list that's just not there.
That's one of those things nobody needs to think about, kind of like you and Patrick Swayze making pottery.
That was hilarious. And a listener sent in a photo.
It was so disturbing.
They photoshopped... who is in the movie?
Demi Moore's
face out of it and put mine on it. And it's the scene where like Patrick Swayze is behind Demi Moore helping her make the pot. And they found a picture of me smiling weirdly. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, what the hell? Because I'm like, that's some like, oh my God.
Then you get it.
It's me.
Yeah. With boobs.
Well, you can't really tell though, because the shirt's pretty. It's just kind of baggy.
Next call.
But there you go.
Next call.
There you go. Now you know. That's a great photo. I think it'd be great to put like on a Christmas card or something next year.
Yeah.
From the family.
Uh-huh.
Like, what the hell? 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You know, something we talk about quite a bit on the show is, you know, legends. And tales and where the origins of some of those come from. And that's always a very interesting conversation. Well, because of that, someone has now created a podcast that covers myths, legends, folklore. Okay. It's a new podcast. It's called Tales, and they're supporting our show today. Each episode of Tales presents an original fairy tale, not the popular watered down versions you're accustomed to hearing. You think you know the story, but do you really? Each and every single episode, the host presents fairy tales and lore, stories so much different than what you heard as a child. And each episode combines analysis with captivating campfire-style storytelling. And each story takes you through dark twists and turns. You can check out the episodes on Beauty and the Beast now. And the new episode coming out every other Saturday. You can expect episodes on Bluebeard, Little Red Riding Hood, and many, many more. Visit Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to podcasts and search for Tales, T-A-L-E-S, or visit parcast.com/tales to start listening now. That's Parcast, parcast.com/tales, and listen now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. My name is Scott. I'm from Indiana. This is a story which I consider it to be an out-of-body experience. I was really depressed one day, so I went in my bedroom after playing with my dog and decided to lay down. So I lay down, and I went to sleep. Well, all of a sudden, I was awake, which I well, I thought I was awake, and I was facing my closet. Now, as I was facing my closet, I heard somebody to my left, and it was a Jamaican guy. I looked over at him, and he was in a white suit with gold buttons, and he had a gold cane with a purple, like a purple crystal on it, and it had like a, it looked like a galaxy effect in the crystal. And he said, "I'm going to show you something," but he wasn't talking with his mouth. He was like using his mind. He told me to look over at the bed. I looked at the bed, and I was still laying there. But the thing is, I wasn't scared. This felt like it was natural. And when it came to the guy, I didn't know who he was, but it felt like I knew him. And he says, "I'm going to show you something else." He goes, "Turn around and face the closet." So I turned around and I faced the closet. And he touched the closet, like the space where the clothes were in the closet, with his staff. And there was like a ripple effect, like what you see when you drop a stone in water. And all of a sudden you're seeing like beautiful fields, and you see mountains, and then farther to the left in the back, you've seen what looked like a golden pearl, which I couldn't tell if it was a castle or just like a big building, but it was surrounded by clouds. And he said, "Do you think this place is beautiful?" And I said, "Yes, it's very beautiful." He goes, "I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to come with me? We can go over here, or you can stay here." And I was thinking, you know, I don't want to leave because I don't know what's going on. I was starting to get a little nervous. And all of a sudden, I seen people out on the field. They're all smiling and waving and, like, waving for me to come in. And I looked at him, and I said, "No, I really want to go because it's beautiful. But I need to stay here because I need to help take care of my nephews." And he smiled, but he still wasn't talking with his mouth. But through his mind, he goes, "I'm glad you made that choice." He goes, "But I'll eventually see you again." And he goes, "Don't worry, things are going to change for the better." And then I woke up. And the next day, I got a job interview, which is why I was depressed, is because I didn't have any work. I was out of work for over 2 months. Next day, I got a job interview, and I started working. But that's just an odd dream or out-of-body experience that I had. I plan on becoming an EPP as soon as possible. And I actually have a few other stories I could tell, but I think I'm going to call back for another time. One story includes my uncle seeing a bride and groom walking down the stairs at my grandmother's house and going through the wall. And then another story a few days after my grandmother died in that house, my niece seen her walking from her bedroom to where she died in her nightgown. But if this gets played, that'd be great. If not, I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you.
Showing up in the nightgown again. It's a good thing that he did not go on. It makes you wonder when you have that out-of-body experience, if you're about to die, if you're kind of on the verge.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go either way, kind of like he alluded to,
mm-hmm.
or not. But it's a good thing that I would just advise anybody that's having an out-of-body experience just to go back to your body.
Go back to your body just in case.
Just in case.
It could get bad pretty quick.
Don't go exploring.
Just 5 minutes. I'm just going to wander over here a little bit and just see what happens. What would happen with what if I was seen as a ghost wearing a woman's nightgown? What if I got stuck with that for my outfit?
Then that's probably what you get.
Even if I never wore one?
Yeah, that's just the way it goes.
That's just like,
you.
It's like, we really think, you know, we thought it was going to be this, but the spirit said he's going to get a lot more joy out of this.
Yeah.
And that's that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be very confusing.
Yeah, for you and for everybody else.
Well, for everybody else. I'd be like, I'm looking like this. This is comfy and smooth.
Walking around looking like Maude.
Feels so silky. Silky and spooky. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Kate calling from Illinois, and I wanted to share a story with you that happened to me about 6 years ago. I moved into an apartment with my boyfriend, and well, he's my husband now, and I was getting ready, like just getting everything moved into the house, into the apartment, and I heard a very faint knock at my apartment door. And just to give you some background on it, to get into the actual apartment building, you needed a key to get in the building, so I couldn't figure out who would be knocking on my door unless it was one of the neighbors, like, welcoming us into the house. So I opened the door, and I see two small children. They looked maybe 8 or 9, I'm going to guess. And the little girl had bangs that covered her eyes, so I couldn't really see her eyes. And the boy had a baseball cap that was pulled all the way down. I couldn't see his eyes. And I couldn't remember if, I know they asked to use the phone, and I couldn't remember if I heard it in my head or if they physically asked it. But I literally got chills down my spine and I just shut the door on them. I don't even remember if I answered, if I said, no, you can't. And it was really bizarre. And then I went about my business, you know, getting everything situated in the apartment. And off of our kitchen, there was a window, so it kind of faced the parking lot of the apartment complex. And I was putting I had a brand new trash can that I was setting up, you know, near that window. And I opened the blinds, and these two kids were standing, and I'm on the second floor, too, of the building. These two kids were standing in the parking lot looking up at me, and I don't remember, you know, if I saw their eyes. The only reason why I thought I would share this story is because on another podcast I heard something about black-eyed children, and it was very similar to what I experienced. So I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's what I encountered. But I don't remember. I know I didn't see either one of the kids' eyes initially when they were at my door. But when I was looking out of my window, I mean, they were looking straight up at my window. It was, and how they knew that was the window to the person's door that they just knocked on, who was me, I will never know. But it freaked me out when it happened. And then when I was listening to the Halloween podcast, I heard another one about black-eyed children. And I thought, that sounds so familiar to what happened to me. So at first, I just brushed it off as two weird kids. But I'm wondering if it was something paranormal. I don't know if I've ever... I probably have heard about black-eyed children on your show. And maybe I just, you know, didn't pay attention, I guess. But I'm an EPP member. I've been listening to you guys almost since the very beginning, so I'm sure I've heard something about this type of incident. But let me know what you think. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think black-eyed children would make a great children's cartoon. No. With all the spooky children's cartoons that are going on now.
Well,
we're the black-eyed children. And they're just creepy, and they just show up at people's doorsteps and mess with people. I think kids would love that show.
I don't think so.
It's kids messing with grown-ups.
Then you'd have kids trying to emulate that behavior.
Yeah,
and that's
true.
Dangerous.
And eventually be a Happy Meal toy, you know, and the kids would be like, oh, can we go and get the chicken nuggets with the black-eyed children toy? It'd be great.
No. No, but, you know, we talk about black-eyed children on the show quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So maybe it has just been on episodes that she's missed. But it sounds like that was probably what was going on. It's just you can't tell from that far away, you know, yeah, if their eyes were completely black or not.
Thing is, people can do the contact lens thing now.
Yeah, and that's messed up.
Yeah.
I hate that stuff.
And I think if that happened, if there was a fun animated series about the wacky local black-eyed children... That you would have kids like, can we get some of those contact lenses and go freak out Edna, the neighbor who's 94?
Right, give heart attacks.
Exactly.
That's terrible.
You know, you don't think of that stuff when you're a kid.
No.
Remember all the times I freaked out my grandma, probably nearly killed her, but never Never actually did, thank goodness. Yeah. But I remember, like, I would always, like, try and sneak up on her and shit. And, mm-hmm. and I just think, well, that'll be great. Karma's going to come back for me on that one someday.
Mm-hmm. It's
like,
I think so.
Like, don't freak them out. They're old. It's like, this will work out well. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name is Amber. I'm from Salt Lake area of Utah. I'm just calling in to share my story. So there's been a lot of things that have happened to me throughout the years, from the time that I was itty-bitty. My dad was telling stories, and actually I got a demon attack, but that'll be for another time. This one was when me and my husband first started dating. He came and was staying the night with me. And in my room, I had often seen this little girl figure, but it always gave me an ominous, dark feeling. I never really liked it. My brother had had that room before me. He seen her. He didn't like it. Well, at the time, my littlest was about five, six, and she was about the same size as this girl apparition. And she, to me, was more of a corner of the eye kind of thing that I would see. Well, my husband came over and we were watching a movie, and we both heard the door open, and you couldn't really see. It was kind of a corner, and then there was the door. Well, my head was on his chest, turned towards the wall, and he goes, "Zoe's up." And I said, "No, I don't think so." And he goes, "You're right. That's not Zoe. That's not Zoe," which is my daughter's name. And he puts his head underneath the covers with me. And I was like, "What the heck is going on?" And he's like, "Don't look, don't look." Well, he wouldn't tell me, wouldn't talk to me right away. Well, later on, he told me that he looked, and it obviously was not my daughter. I had the feeling it wasn't my daughter, so I didn't look. And he said it was a little girl, but it wasn't my daughter, obviously, and that she had some of, like, a distorted face, like you see in the movies, which I've never seen. But before he moved in with me and before he stayed over, he had never had an experience ever. And I chalk it up to our family are sensitive, or whatever you'd like to call it, but we have things happen to us all the time, and I'll probably call in and share them again another time. But just want to share my story. I love you guys. I just barely started listening to you just a couple weeks ago. I'm back in 2016's recordings, but I'll get caught up. So just wanted to say that I love you guys and keep up the good work. Thanks. Bye.
I love the diving under the covers part, you mm-hmm. know, because that's just everybody's instinct is to do that.
It works.
It does work. And it's so weird.
Makes everything better. I did that. I did that when I like felt like when I kind of snapped out of my one sleep paralysis state 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I fell back asleep. And I say to other people, like, I don't know how you do that. I did it. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know how.
Yeah.
But you just, maybe you're just so tired. I don't know. Or take something out of you. I don't know. 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Gabrielle. I don't have a story for you guys, but I just had a question. I've heard you guys talk about shadow people, about black-eyed children, about demons. I recently listened to an episode where you guys had a caller talk about a supernatural creature from Native American culture, and another that was talking about a wood spirit, and it seems like different cultures have different experiences with different supernatural things. And I was wondering if you all thought that there was a set variety of supernatural things, and different cultures interpret each thing differently. And so each culture would have different names for things that we'll experience and different lore behind them. Or do you guys think that there are types of supernatural things can be regional? Much in the same way that different species of animals are found in different regions of the earth. I just wondered what you guys' thoughts were on that. Thanks. Bye.
Regional ghosts.
I think there's some things that seem to be more common in certain cultures, but I think there is a form of that for most cultures with different names and different beliefs surrounding it. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? It's kind of like, you know, there might be one type of...
Duende!
There might be one type of little troll gnome thing, you know, in Mexican culture that's maybe kind of alludes to something else maybe in Irish culture. You know, mm-hmm. there's things like that, but they have different names for it. And maybe they do look different, but I think I can't think of any one particular type of entity that only shows up one mm-hmm. one culture only has it.
Yeah, I would say that I think there's certain things that will make their appearance in whatever freakiest fashion possible to whatever culture it's in, mm-hmm. You know, where it's not necessarily that thing. It's just something very dark that will make itself known. And that's not even a culture thing. That's more so, I think, based on the individual mm-hmm. of what do they find to be horrible and scary, and dark entities will then take that form. But I think that there's a lot of similar type things that are across all different cultures but are called different things in different parts of the world. But when you kind of look at the stories, they kind of match up to, well, this culture is something very similar to that culture, very same sort of story, same sort of folklore, if you will, around it, and mm-hmm. and same sort of experiences, but they called it this in this part of the world, it's called that in that part of the world, and sometimes the origin stories are a little bit different, but for whatever reason they're a very similar type thing.
And it could be, too, that your fear of what this thing is based on what you've been told from, you know, people around you, and they were told by people around them. And it's passed down. So, mm-hmm. like, duendes, you know, if they see this and they're like, oh, that's what that is, and maybe it presents itself as something you're mm-hmm. already afraid of because of what you've heard about it.
Yeah, I mean, once McDonald's starts doing the Black Eyed Children Happy Meal toys, it's not going to be such a scary thing. People will start inviting them into their homes a lot more.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, yeah, Skippy just got one of those the other day in the Happy Meal. Collected all four.
Yep.
That'd be great. I could picture, like, what the box could look like, too.
Good for you.
It's like a little house.
I'm so happy that you're creative on that. That's great.
I think it'd be great. I think it would be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Beth from Limerick, Pennsylvania. I'm on my way to work right now, and I just listened to the story of the guy who went to the Winchester Mystery House with his girlfriend who seemed to know things. And it occurred to me that what if the Winchester Mystery House is some weird, I don't know, time portal or thing where, I don't know, parallel universes are crossing or something, and Mrs. Winchester was actually seeing people from the current time touring her home, and somehow, I mean, I guess that would lead you into the questioning, did the time slip cause her to keep building because she was seeing these people? You know, it's strange. But anyway, I just wanted to share that. Maybe you guys would have some comments, or some other listeners would have some comments. But anyway, thanks, guys. Take care. Bye.
I think Mrs. Winchester may have accidentally turned her home into some sort of portal, because there was a lot of seance activity going on there, which was not uncommon in that time period. That was kind of, oh, there's nothing better to do. Let's summon the undead.
Instead of using like an iPad or an iPhone, it's like, right. Let's do a seance.
Right, right. So they say that she made her house the way it is to try and trick the spirits, which is kind of, I think, pointless.
Futile.
Yeah. But I don't know that she wasn't seeing ghosts of people of the future.
Sure.
But I just kind of wonder how much mental illness coupled with a huge fortune didn't just that's probably what led to the Winchester Mansion.
The perfect storm. of everything. Yeah, I could see that. Working on getting an interview together with them about it. They're kind of busy right now with that movie that just came out about it.
Yeah.
But working on putting that together for the podcast, which should be interesting, because I'm looking forward to learning more about it. I mean, I know bits and pieces, mm-hmm. but to really hear some interesting insight into it would be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. Got the scurvy.
Okay, good.
I don't have the flu. I don't. I swear, I don't.
Okay.
Thank goodness. Knock on wood.
It's pneumonia from your freezing cold office. What we now have to figure out
how. Yeah, which Jenny says I can't heat.
You can heat it. It's just not going to be like
the way
unsafe.
I want to. I'm not going to get a cow house heater or.
A milk house heater.
I never heard of that. Milk house. Is it because they were used in milk houses?
Yes.
Okay.
When you go out to milk the cows, you take the milk house heater.
I've seen ones that are almost like just like regular like oscillating fans that just kind of give off heat. Not like touch it, you're going to burn your hand heat. Like a cow room heater. Milk house heater. But warm.
Okay.
I don't know if it does the reverse of a fan or
I don't know
what it's doing, but.
I don't know.
No. What do you want to do?
Put you a fireplace in here.
Where?
This wall right here.
Oh, right behind you?
Yeah.
So you can stay warm and toasty?
And it'll the show? When I'm not here to block all your heat, it'll heat your butt too.
I know. Right by me, right over here. Convenient. Yeah. I think it could work well there.
I think it'd work very well.
It's a brickish wall. There wouldn't be a whole lot of work that would have to be done.
No.
Yeah, let's talk about that. It could be something for the other show.
Could be.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. We're going to be like the Winchester House someday with the amount of fireplaces we're putting into the house. It's like, there's how many fireplaces? And then, like, only one is, like, actually gas. Everything else
well,
is
yeah.
electric.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Every room is a fireplace. All right.
Not every room.
No. If you like the show, help us to stay on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. $5 a month. And thank you in advance for supporting the show and doing that for us. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.